Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for your joy in this place. Thank you for, in the midst of pain and sorrow, we can rejoice because you are an unmovable God. You are unshakable. You are powerful. And we trust in you and you alone, Jesus. Father, there are people here today listening to my voice who need a touch from you. And I simply ask that you would move in every heart in this place, God. Our heart is expecting you to do something, God. We are alert. We are eager to hear what you have to say to us through your word, Lord. Open up our hearts and our minds to hear what you have to say. We thank you. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do. I ask that you would stand in this, my body, that you would think with my mind, speak with my tongue. Say to us in this house those things that you would have us know. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Praise God, praise God. This is still in my spirit. Amen. Thank you guys so much. When I was a little guy, and I was, I don't know, 8, 9 years old, not too young, my brother and I were forced on a Saturday. My dad had the brilliant idea to go get more education. Why are you doing that? Instead of playing with us on a Saturday, he was going for his master's degree in a university far away from where we lived. This is when I lived back in Puerto Rico. And so my dad would take me and my older brother. I was about 8, he was about 9 or something like that. It might have been 9 and 10. And he would take us to this university while he was taking classes for a good portion of the day. He would just say, hey, go play basketball, go do something. How many of you know that it's a scary thing to leave two boys who are bored all day long by themselves? Did you know that's true? If you don't know, that is a dangerous proposition. And of course, it's not dangerous to leave me alone because I was a good kid. I mean, come on, you believe I was a good kid. But I would still get into trouble, and especially I would get into trouble when my older brother would lead me to trouble. And so we went to the back of the building where my dad was taking the classes. It was a big 4-story building in Puerto Rico. And in the back, there were some garbage cans. And right on top of the garbage cans, there were unused matches. And so my older brother, and some of you have heard me speak of my older brother. I don't think he would mind me saying this. I know he wouldn't. He was the one who would mostly get in trouble, and I was the one who mostly told on him. I was a tattletale. I mean, come on, that's terrible, right? But that's how it worked. My older brother would get in trouble. But this day, we were together, we were alone, my dad was in class, it was just us, and we saw matches. How many know that boredom, kids, all by themselves, and unused matches is not a good idea, okay? That is even a terrible idea. So my older brother, true to form, he said, hey, let's start using some of these matches, and we'll put them out. And again, I was a real bold, kind of fierce lion kind of person. I said, no, don't do that. He won out, because he was older and bigger than me. So he said, no, but this is what we're going to do. So we light a match, and maybe light something on fire, and then we put it out. And then we light another match and put something on fire and put it out. And after a little while, you know, he put a couple of things on fire, but then we put it out the best we can. And then we said, oh, let's go and play some basketball. And we forgot about what we were doing there. We went and found a basketball. We were playing basketball. And I still remember as we were playing basketball, we heard the firefighter sirens coming into the complex. I wonder what's going on there. Somebody came and said, hey, kids, come over here. Were you guys playing with fire? We're like, oh, no. So we go to the place where we were, and what had happened was that a fire had started after we left. It wasn't on when we were there, but, you know, how many know? If you don't put water on that stuff, it's going to catch fire, and it's a bunch of trash up. It all started catching fire is what happened. And little by little, it started growing and growing. And literally, the flames were so big, it was above this ceiling, and they were catching on fire on the building. And the building was starting to turn a different color in that particular part. Firefighters came in, put the fire out. By God's grace and mercy, the building stood. Amen. You can rejoice over that. I rejoice over the fact that the building was still standing. And no horrific damage was done. But wow, was that scary. And what's the amazing thing about fire, well, and I don't know how many of you are familiar with it, but it destroys everything in its path. the garbage was consumed and it was starting to consume the building. You've heard before, and of course, we should have heeded this. Never do what? Never play with fire. Thank you. Never play with fire. FYI, you guys, this is a public service announcement. Don't play with fires. Parents, don't leave your kids next to unused matches. Fire is something to be respected, I learned that day. This is not just a game. Fire can be consuming. It consumes everything in its path. Don't play with it. Fire destroys. I have a friend of mine who is an actual firefighter in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He was actually, for those of you who were able to come to my wedding, he was actually one of the groomsmen that was with me. And he was telling me just recently, just last month, he said he went into a house that there was a fire there. And what they do is they spray the door where they're going to go in. They spray it with water, and then they open it, and they go in and try to put the fire out. So they spray this door with water, and he was in front, and the captain was behind him, and he had the water. They opened up the door. He says, as soon as I got in there, my skin felt like it was burning. Now, just so that you know, firefighters go into fires with all kinds of gear on. Do you know that? They don't just go in with t-shirts and jeans. Hey, right? They go in with the full gear, with the mask and everything. He went, as soon as he came in, he could feel the fire. And they're taught, he said, they're taught that as soon as we feel it that strongly, we get down on our knees because as soon as you get down, the heat usually rises. And so it's a little bit, usually just a bit cooler in the middle of the fire when you go down. But he said, when he put his knees started to burn. So he couldn't do it. So he's telling me he was doing some kind of squat, duck, walk thing. And he was telling, Captain, it's too hot. We got to get out of here. Now, the captain was, how can I use it? Dave, can you come here for a second? Thank you, man. I know you've been up here several times, but I'll pick on you one more time. So he's my friend, JJ. He's in front. He's got the water, right? He's fighting the fire, right? He's saying, Captain, there you go, perfect. He's saying, Captain, it's too hot. But the captain that's behind, he's telling me from a science standpoint, the person that's in front can feel all the heat. But the person right behind him can't feel it all because it's kind of diluting. It's going in a different direction. And the captain was like, no, just keep going. And he's like, Captain, it's really hot. He said, no, just keep going. We can do it. And he was feeling all the heat. The captain wasn't. Everybody give Dave a hand. Thank you for that, man. Appreciate it. Yeah. A little work on Sunday mornings. We'll do a little Zumba action afterwards. So just stay tuned for that. I think Carl's going to be leading that one. So here's the deal. But eventually, he said, we pushed through. And even though it was really hot, we were able to get the fire was done. But he was telling me, it was scary, because I had all this gear. As soon as I got, boom, it feels like you're going to burn. He was telling me that when people burn, their skin literally melts off their body. And then everything else happens. Fire is something to be respected. There are different kinds of fires, though. I don't know how many of you have been looking at the news, but just yesterday and this past weekend, there's been crazy stuff going on in Virginia. There's been news about a group, basically a group that is against any race that is not their own. They were marching, some kind of supremacist group, and then there were people marching against them, and all kinds of terrible stuff happened. It culminated with a car driving through a bunch of people, plowing through a bunch of people. At least one or two people might have been dead, a bunch of people injured. In this nation, the fires of racial tensions are burning, aren't they? For a second, I turned on the news yesterday and I said, oh my goodness, what is going on? This is crazy. People are really angry. The fires are being stoked on many different levels. Racial tensions, hostility, the fires of violence. Someone drove a car right through a crowd. There were kids and everything. I heard of a woman this past week, in a couple days ago at a conference, that was from Rwanda, and she told a story of how when she was a little girl, her daddy sent her to the neighbor's house because she needed to be protected, because the government itself of Rwanda in the 90s sent for people of a particular tribe, and they were going to kill them. So here we think of racial tensions, black, white, or brown. Back then, racial tensions in Rwanda were, everybody was black, they were just of the wrong tribe. Are you with me? I'm just telling you that the fires of violence and hatred are going on all over the world, have been through history, and this little girl told her story of how she was able to survive. And some of the day, maybe we'll be able to look at that story. It was a powerful story. But she experienced the worst kinds of violence because of her race. The fires of hatred were raging in that country. We know here that in Sudan and South Sudan, we've been praying and asking God for a miracle because there is war and there is violence. The fires of violence are burning through that country. We know that. We've been crying out to God for that. Have mercy on South Sudan has been our prayer and continues to be. Here at home, we face all kinds of different fires. There's a physical fire that we want to be careful with, never play with fire, but there's also the fires of violence, the fires of racial tensions nationally and internationally, but also you and I go through fires in our personal life as well, don't we? Some of the fires that you and I may have been going through, we might be going through some financial fires. We are in trouble financially. The bills are stacking up. We're not making enough money. Relationship fires. This person is angry. There's a rupture in our relationships. Health fires. We have a sickness, a disease, a condition, an injury that continues to lag, and we're facing it every day, and it's consuming us. Addiction fires. We just talked about addiction. The heroin addiction is a fire that is burning through the inner cities of America, and it's burning through the inner city of Rochester. It's raging, it's consuming. There was a couple of guys up front not too long after our clergy on patrol, just right up front. They didn't realize anyone was here. Sometimes I am in the office and people just don't realize that I'm here. And so I could hear them. They were just talking about all these stuff. When I went out to see them, there were two men who had been addicted to drugs for a long time. I could see the effects of the fire of addiction in their life. In their skin, I could see it. Are you with me? I could see the deterioration of them. What kind of fire are you going through in your personal life? Addiction, relationships, finances, grieving, relationship with your kids. And here's a thought that I want to mention over and over again today. Unshakable faith in God will not be consumed by the fires of this world. I'm going to say that again. Unshakable faith in God will not, cannot be consumed by the fires of this world. Amen? And we're going to dive into the scriptures to look at the second part of a story that we started last week and the week before to help us see what this looks like in the scriptures and what it can be in your life and mine. The scripture says in the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Daniel, chapter 3. And Mike, if you have that up there, that would be awesome. Daniel, chapter 3. Starting in verse 18 or 19, if you can put it up there, it says this. It's actually on your sheet. Verse 19, I'm sorry. Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Everyone say 7 times hotter. So here's the situation. 3 men were told, you will worship this statue or you will be thrown into the fire. Those 3 men said, we serve God, we worship God, we will not bow down to this statue. Now, just so that you know, to put it in context, everyone else in the entire nation was bowing down to this false god. The only 3 men that weren't bowing down was a man named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were told, if you don't bow, you're going to be in the fire. And the king said, I'm going to give you one more chance. You bow down when you hear the music. Otherwise, you're going to be thrown into the fire. And the 3 guys said, no matter what you say, king, we are not going to go. We're not going to bow down to your God. Our God is able to deliver us from the fire. But even if he doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to bow. And right here, so pause, right here is where we catch this story. Right after they have said, no matter what, king, no matter what you throw at us, no matter how hot the fire is, we are not going to bow. It says that his face became distorted with rage. And one of the feelings that I have there is uncontrollable anger distorts the person you are supposed to be. You ever seen somebody that's super angry? There are people that when I see a person and I see them get really angry, their facial expressions change. They almost look like a different person. They're so angry. It's like, whoa, what is going on? I still remember one time when I was watching the documentary on O.J. Simpson. It's actually a fascinating documentary on his whole life, really. And one of the parts in that documentary said that one time, O.J. Simpson, and at that time when he was still married to Nicole, they were in their house and they were having some kind of argument, some kind of fight. And the cop comes to the house and he says he sees Nicole, she's running towards him, and she sees O.J. Simpson with a bat in his hand, and he looked like, the cop said it was just raging anger. And he had the bat in his hands. And the officer looks at him, Mr. Simpson, I need you to put the bat down. And he was talking and screaming, and if he was like a different person, he says, all of a sudden, this is the officer telling the story, all of a sudden, after a moment, it was almost like he realized what was happening. He put the bat down, and he became a normal person. He starts saying, oh, officer, I didn't mean any harm, because his rage has passed. And one of the things that you and I have to be careful with, I don't know who here in the house has anger issues. I don't know who here in the house, if someone touches the wrong thing, the wrong button, they press the wrong button, they rub you the wrong way, you get angry, you get upset, and what I have to say is uncontrollable anger often distorts the person that you're supposed to be, so be very careful what you do when you're angry. Be careful what you say when you're angry. The Bible says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. This king, Nebuchadnezzar, his face became distorted with rage. He was so angry. But here's the good news, and here I want to talk about unshakable faith here today. Unshakable faith does not give in when the fires get hotter. Unshakable faith does not give in when the fires get hotter. He commanded, heat up the oven 7 times hotter. I want you to understand, that's why I've been asking my friend questions as a firefighter. I want to know what it feels like to walk into a house that there's a fire going on. He says it feels like you're burning, even with an outfit on, even with the fire suit on. It feels like you're burning and you want to just get out of there. That's what it feels like. And Nebuchadnezzar has just said, make it hotter, 7 times hotter. It was hot back then, now it's going to be even hotter. Then he ordered some of the strongest men of the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So he was angry because they weren't bound to his God, and he had the furnace heated up 7 more times hotter, and then he had the strongest men. Everyone say strongest men. He had the strongest men of his army. Notice he didn't say he had the most weakest guys in the army take care of them. He didn't say he had the average guys in the army. He said the strongest men in the army. The king said, hey, you and you, big guys, Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, and the Ultimate Warrior or The Rock or someone. The strong guys. You're going to throw these guys in. He ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Some of the strongest men. I think this is important because of what was about to happen. These were the strongest men. Their physical ability was unmatched. They were in the best shape of any soldier in the kingdom, and they were the ones throwing them into the fire. Are you with me? They were what kind of men? The strongest men. Unshakable faith does not give in when the enemy seems stronger. Unshakable faith does not give in when the enemy seems stronger. The furnace is burning 7 times hotter, and these strong men are coming to get you. It does not give in. So the scripture said, they tied them up and threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. They didn't say, okay, guys, we're going to throw you into the fire. Let me give you a firefighter suit. Let me give you what you need to be in the fire. No, whatever you're wearing, we're going to throw you in there. When last year, when I went to propose to Amy in California, we went to Universal Studios, and one of the cool things that we got to see was how people make special effects. And one of the things that we got to see, literally, so I'm standing here in a big crowd, and the guys that were acting were right in front of me. You can imagine maybe this stage might be more helpful. And they showed up, and they said, we're gonna do a special effects of a person burning with fire. Now, this guy, they put him in a special suit, and they put all kinds of anti-burning gel, like, all over him. Because this was in front of hundreds of people, maybe even almost, well, yeah, there's definitely hundreds of people in that auditorium. And they put this outfit on and said, we're going to show you how they, sometimes we make fires for movies or for TV shows, but here's the things. Here are the checklist of things to be mindful of so that this person doesn't burn. And he said, one is we have to put this gel on. We have to have the outfit. One is it can only be for so many seconds. After so many seconds, it doesn't matter how much gel or how much outfit you got. After so much time, the fire is going to burn. Are you with me? And so they're going to do this right in front of us. I mean, Amy and I were just sitting there, and we're looking at it. It's like, wow. And eventually, he said, the final piece is, once we put the fire out, we need to have the thumbs up. And as long as that guy gives us a thumbs up, that means he's okay, no problems. And so it's kind of like a moment, right? Because right here in front of us, somebody's going to, they literally start, you know, they put a little match on, and he turns on fire, and he starts walking like this, and eventually he falls, and then somebody sprays him, and he gives a thumbs up, and everyone's like, yes, he's alive, that's awesome. It was super cool, but yeah, here's what I was thinking as I was preparing. All that preparation, just for a few seconds, because the fire is unmerciful. They say, you know, we have, even in Hollywood, have to be so careful, because the fire, even after putting everything to protect them, the fire was going to rage. Here, they just threw the guys right as they were. The strongest men in the army came, they grabbed the three guys, and they threw them in the fire. Are you with me? That's what just happened. Fully dressed. And because the king, in his anger, I'm going to say in his anger. Say it again, in his anger. Because the king, in his anger, had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the three men in. Because the king, in his anger, had demanded the hot fire and had made that decision, the flames killed the soldiers. A couple of thoughts on this. Angry decisions can kill you. Or it can kill people close to you. In anger, a man beats a woman or beats their child. In anger, someone shoots someone else because they're angry. In anger, we say abusive things. In anger, we inflict pain on people around us. These soldiers who were in tip-top shape, they were the strongest of the strong. The king would never have wanted to lose these soldiers, but because he made a decision in what? In what? In anger. He killed his own guys. He killed his own guys. Uncontrollable anger always has unintended consequences. Uncontrollable anger always, that's the next fill in here. And by the way, does everybody have one of these? And if you don't, please raise your hand and we'll get one to you. Hopefully you do. Okay, over there. So if there's somebody that, yep, thank you very much, and I appreciate that. Uncontrollable anger always has unintended consequences. Another thought on this particular text is that no amount of exercise or fitness or physical strength can save you from the flames. Working out and fitness is important, but no amount of buffness can do what only God can do. Are you with me? In that moment, facing the fire, it didn't matter who the strongest was. It didn't matter how much I had worked out. It didn't matter because the only one that could get them out of that situation was God. And it was proven by the fact that the three strongest men in the army, after they threw the guys in, the flame was so hot that they died themselves. I'd rather have God than be the strongest warrior in an army. Ever been in a situation where the people around you are being consumed by by the flames of violence, the flames of anger, the flames of whatever circumstances you are in. It's a scary thing. Uncontrollable anger always has unintended consequences. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. Boom, that's where they were. This was the moment. They were thrown into the fires. But suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar, that's the king, jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the furnace?" "Yes, your majesty, we certainly did," they replied. A couple of thoughts before we move forward, I'm going to hit pause there. Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement. Everyone say amazement. Amazing. Say it again, amazement. Amazing. And then he exclaimed to him, "Wait, we tied up three men. Didn't we tie up three men?" He had to make sure. Someone that was burning with anger just a minute ago now jumps up in amazement. He goes from anger to another A word, amazement. Are you with me? He's going through a transition, a process. Here's a thought I had. When God is in something, angry, lustful, depressed, violent people will jump up with amazement. When God touches the situation, when God gets involved in something, people who are angry, who are depressed, people who are on drugs will look up and say, "Wait a second, there's something happening here, and I am amazed." Nebuchadnezzar knew what had just happened, but what he was seeing now didn't make sense. Didn't we throw three men into the fire? We tied up three. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. "Look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see four men unbound, walking around in the fire, unharmed. And the fourth man looks like an ox." In my anger, I threw in these three men in the fiery furnace. I put the fire hotter, seven times hotter. My own soldiers, because I was so angry, they died. But the three men, Nebuchadnezzar looked into the burning furnace, and then he said, "Wait, it was three, but now I see four. And the fourth one looks like a god." Some version said, "Looks like the son of the gods." Hallelujah. Through unshakable faith, we experience God showing up in the middle of the fire. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, I don't know about you. I don't know if you've gone through anything difficult in your life, but here's my testimony. My testimony is not that since I've been a Christian, God has protected me and kept me from every bad thing. My testimony is not that since I've been following Jesus, life is cool, no depression, no struggles, everything's good. That's not my testimony. Here's my testimony. My testimony is that since I've been with God, every time I've walked through the fires of depression or fires of anger or fires of pain or deep trouble has come through my life or the fires of financial difficulty when I didn't have two pennies to rub together, we had nothing, even though we had been through the fires, here's my testimony. God has been with me every single time. God has walked with me. He has not let me go. Even in moments where I cried out and said, "God, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I am burning alive in this flame of grief. God, help me. I'm going to lose my mind." God said, "I'm with you. I am with you. I am with you." And in the middle of the furnace of the fires in my life, God has always shown up. That's my testimony. Through unshakable faith, we experience God showing up in the middle of the fire. We serve a God that can keep the flame from burning us, even when we're in the fire. Are you with me? That's the kind of God that we serve. It doesn't make any sense, but that's the kind of God we serve. They should have destroyed you, the fires. And maybe there are some here who can share some testimonies as well. The fires should have messed you up for life. But even though you were in the fire, it did not burn or destroy you. Hallelujah. I see four men, unbound, unharmed, walking around. The fourth looks like a god. the fourth man looks different than the others. The fourth man was not just a nice prophet named Jesus. Oh yeah, Jesus is my homeboy. He was just a great man. The fourth one is different from anything Nebuchadnezzar has seen. This man had conquered Israel. He had conquered Egypt. He had conquered Assyria. No other man could stand up to Nebuchadnezzar. He was the big dog. He was the big chief. Nobody messed with him. He was the king, and he was in charge of the entire known world at the time. The most powerful man. But when he looked in the furnace, he said, I see four men, and one of them looks different than the others. Something about him, he looks like a god, like one of the sons of God. And of course, that's exactly who it was. God came to be with them, listen, in the fire. If I was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I would have liked if God said, okay, when Nebuchadnezzar said, make the fire hot seven more times, I would have said, okay, God, now is the time to help me out. Do one of those Superman, you know, blowing with things. And just calm the fire down. That's what I would have wanted. If I was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the guys came to get me and throw me in, I was like, God, fight those guys. Send angels to fight them so that they will not take us in. But God didn't do that. God didn't cool down the fire. God did not stop the three men from throwing them in. But God showed up when they were in the flames. One of the most amazing things about Christianity is that we believe that God, the creator of everything, became a human being through his son Jesus. And he came to be in the world with you and me. He looked like a man. He was fully God and fully man, according to the scriptures. He suffered. He experienced pain and thirst. And everything that you experience, and I experienced, Jesus experienced. The Bible says that he was tempted in every way, yet without sin. That means that he was tempted in every way that you and I are always tempted, but yet Jesus was different. He was without sin. He did not disobey the Father. He was faithful to him, but he came, God became a human being and started walking around in the middle of this crazy stuff. And on that day, he was the fourth man in the fiery furnace. We thank God. He is the only one that came for us. No other religion, no other faith believes that God became a human and came for us to save us, to die on the cross for us. I see four men. We threw three in, but now I'm seeing four. We experience God showing up in the middle of the fire through unshakable faith. Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. I want you to notice the chronology here. First, he's shouting threats to them. You will bow to this statue or else. Then he's shouting orders to the three soldiers. Take them into the fire. Then he's shouting in amazement. I see four men in there. And now he's shouting for the men to come out of the fire. He just gave orders for people to throw them into the fire. Now he's calling them to say, come out of the fire. He was confused. He knew something different now. He knew that they really were servants of the Most High God. You know, we talk about becoming champions that through the gospel that bring transformation. You know, I want to be a champion that stands in the face of fires and believes, no matter what, I know that I know that I know that my God will be with me. I know that God is not going to leave me. That's the kind of champion that we're talking about. We're not just talking about a champion who comes to church every day and then reads his Bible and is always listening to Christian music. A champion is someone that in the midst of fires, the fire is there, everyone else is saying, you will bow to the world. You will do things the way we say. And we say, no, I'm going God's way. I'm going to follow his word. No matter what, I'm going to connect with him. I'm going to love him. I'm going to follow that God even to my death. That's the kind of champions that we want to see here in this church. Amen? That's the kind of champion we want to see. see in this community, hallelujah, they did step out. They did step out. It, the scripture says, then the high officers, officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw, listen, that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their heads was singed. That means neither of them were bald. Because they all had hair to be singed. Right? Not a hair on their heads was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. Have you ever heard of that? Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than, and you'll get this if you've been with us the last few weeks, rather than serve or worship any god except their own. They defied the king's instructions. They were not willing to defy the king's instructions. They were not willing to serve or worship any other god. Do you know that when I walk around the mall or when I am in new places and I talk to people and they ask me what I do and they just a nice social chatter, none of them know what I've gone through. None of them know my story. And for some of you, you know, we may know your story, but most of you, we don't know your story. We don't know what fires you've been through. The Bible says that these three men came out, and you couldn't even smell the smoke on their clothes. It was a miracle of miracles. You couldn't, nothing said that they had been through a fire. You know, could you, is it possible that you're here, and you've gone through some painful experiences, you've gone through something terrible, but you're dressed up and you all look beautiful and pretty today. God bless you. But you've dressed up and no one really knows the fires that you have been through. Listen, no one might know the fire that you are going through now. Can I just encourage you and say that God knows what you're going through? God sees it. Oh, he knows it. And maybe you're here today to just hear this preacher say to you, even while you're in the fire, God can show up. Even when you're in the fire, you're going through it, Jesus will not leave you if you trust him, if you put your faith in him. Praise the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Praise that God. Through unshakable faith, the watching world who rejected God will fall on their knees and worship him. And worship him. Therefore, I make this decree, this is the king saying, if any people, whatever their race or nation or language, whatever their race or nation or language, if you are black, if you are white, if you are Hispanic, if you are Asian, whatever your race, your nation or language, here's what I, Nebuchadnezzar, who used to be angry and who used to think I know what I know and everybody needs to do what I say, that same Nebuchadnezzar now is saying, every nation, every person from all the people of the world, if anyone speaks a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb. Notice Nebuchadnezzar still had issues. He's still an angry guy. He's like, okay, man, he's changing. He's seeing that God is realizing, yes, anyone who says anything against this God is in trouble. He still had anger issues. Do you know what's real? Even after I came to Jesus, I still had issues. Do you know that? And can I just tell you that the closer and closer you get to Jesus, the more unshakable faith you're going to build, the closer your walk with God is going to be, but you're still going to have to address the issues of your life. Some of you are still struggling with addictions or anger. Some of you are still struggling in being overly quiet and not wanting to talk to anyone. Some of you are struggling with deep depression, and God knows it, and you know it. And being a Christian and seeing the light of Christ doesn't mean that everything is perfect. It does mean that we're walking towards Jesus every day. God, help me with my anger. God, help me with my addictions. God, help me in this relationship. God, this person speaks to me. I want to give him a piece of my mind, but God, I want you in my life. Help me. And little by little, God starts helping us to forgive and to become more and more like he. who was tempted in every way, yet without sin, will be torn limb from limb, and their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. There is no other God who can rescue like this. This is Nebuchadnezzar. 5 minutes ago, he was angry, his face was distorted, he was throwing these guys in the fire and saying, take that. Now he's saying, this is the real God, I believe in this God, all up because of the faith of three champions that stood up when no one else would stand up and say, no matter what happens to us, we're not going to bow down to false God. The false god of pleasure, the false god of popularity, the false god of making sure that everyone else says good things about me, the false god of whatever you think is the idol in your life. It says, there's no other God who can rescue like this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to even higher positions in the province of Babylon. Through unshakable faith, what was meant to destroy you ends up promoting you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What was meant to destroy you ends up promoting you. I'm going to ask the worship team members who are still here to come on up. We're going to sing a song to finish today. And as they're coming up, I just want to say one last thing here. Unshakable faith in Jesus. Everyone say Jesus. Reminds us that because of the cross, we don't have to experience the Bible talks about the eternal fire. And can I just say something to you? I often don't speak about hell here. I think there's a lot of things that God wants us to speak about, and I don't speak about it that often, but here's the reality. Here's what I believe. I believe that when I die, if I have had a relationship with Jesus, and I have said yes to him, because of my trust in him and my faith, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego trusted God, because of my faith in the living God, he takes me with him. And I get to spend eternity with him. Listen, out of the fires. There's a scripture in the Bible that literally says that Jesus descended into hell. And he did something that no one else could do. He made a difference in that place that nobody else could make. And here's what I would say to you and me. After we die or when Jesus comes back, there's heaven or hell, according to the scriptures. There's eternity with God or eternally separated from God. And that eternal separation is a place called hell. And the Bible talks about being a place of pain. And here's a beautiful thing, guys. Here's a beautiful thing. When we trust in Jesus, Jesus, just like he did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he stands. And here's what I believe. Remember my friend was fighting the fire and he was in front? And the person behind him couldn't really feel the flames. Remember that? I believe that Jesus, with our eternal souls, goes in front of us. And the enemy, the devil, wishes to destroy our lives. The Bible says he's the enemy of our soul. But Jesus stands in front of us and took all of the heat, all of the fire, all of the sin, all of the pain. The Bible says he took it all on a place called the cross of Calvary. He took it all. And now he has me standing behind him, and he says, I've got you. Because of what I'm doing, I've got you. I'm taking the pain so that you can be free. I'm taking the pain so you can walk out of this fiery furnace. I'm taking the pain so you can be eternally with me instead of eternally burning. That's what I have done for you. I take the cross. The only people that end up in the flames are people who do not stand behind Jesus and say, I trust you and I follow you, are the people who say, no, I'm going to do it my own way. I'm going to deal with the flames of life my own way. But they receive the flames, and if they die that way, they will receive them for eternity. But those of us who are behind Jesus and have trusted him with what he did on the cross, Jesus for us does exactly what he did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Who is that fourth man? And he looks like the Son of God. Let's stand together and sing. Our heads and pray. Father, I thank you for the work that you're doing in our hearts. Thank you that you are the fourth man in the fiery furnace for us. That you stand in the place where we should be, and you take the punishment, you take the flames for us. Jesus, we thank you for that, Lord. If you're here today, you know you need to get things right with the Lord. As we sing this song, just pray and cry out to Him. Say, Lord Jesus, I get behind You. I see what You did on the cross. I will follow You. I put my faith and my trust in You.